Hello everyone and welcome to the FPL Family YouTube channel. The season 24-25 is here. Sam, it's live. The game is live and kicking. We did a video a couple of weeks ago talking about our first drafts, our first thoughts. So if you haven't checked that out yet, go ahead and check that out. This video specifically is going to be about midfielders. That seems to be, I mean, a lot of talk about defenders as well and forwards, and probably that's another video we need to do, right? But midfielders seems to be getting the community talking. And certainly it's where you and I have had a lot of conversation pre-season. Lots of different price points, lots of different options at the different price points as well. It's an interesting dynamic, the midfield, isn't it? Just in general, talk to me about it before we dive into the price points.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating because, you know, the midfielders are always really important. They're the ones that obviously get more points for the goals, so you want to have them, but they also have the benefit of getting the clean sheet points if they stand. They tend to do historically quite well in the bonus point system as well, so getting...
Probably even more so with the probably. New BPS system, I would suggest.
Yeah, probably.
Shots on target, players getting fouled, yeah.
So getting the bonus points players is going to be important, but I think just generally getting the midfielders right is quite a skillful art. And for me, one of the things I like to try and do is to have a player in all of the key price points.
Yep.
Because in doing that, you allow yourself the flexibility to go, oh, I've made a little mistake there with that midfielder because this one is the one that's performing better. And then it's easy to move across. Whereas if you have gone, right, I'm going with one really expensive one and then all the others are budget-friendly enablers, and then one of the guys in the 7 to 9 million bracket kicks off in the early part of the season, you're struggling to find a way to bring them into your team.
I'm with you on that. I like the flexibility. I like the price points, particularly early on in the season. As we go through the season, you can kind of dive in and you can commit and you can have a couple of premiums if that's the way the kind of game is turning out. But to start with, to have players kind of covering price points, I like to play the game that way. So that's the way we're going to do this video. We're going to look at premium midfielders. We're going to look at the kind of what I would call the kind of semi-premium. Mm. So not the kind of Salahs and Palmers and Sakas, but those that are in that kind of 8 to 9 bracket. Because a few options there as well. Then we'll look at the kind of 6.5 to 7 bracket. Loads of value. Loads of value in that bracket. And then we'll look at the real cheapies. The real cheapies who we're going to go for. And we'll have a conversation at that point as to whether we're even going to go for a cheapie.
I think we might disagree on this.
I think we might disagree on that. I think we should get this out there. I think there's so much value in midfield that I don't think you should go for a cheapie. But maybe, listen, we'll have that conversation when we get there. Mm. Let's dive into what is my team, actually. So I've got my team on the screen. Listen, this is draft number
805.
64 of 300 and something, guys, so do not pay much heed as to where I'm at with it, but I'm kind of tinkering. I've got a few in there that I've not changed. There's a few that are starting to feel a bit locked, you know, Isak and Watkins, and I noticed Barco taking corners for Brighton in a pre-season friendly earlier today, so I like the look of him too. But with the midfielders, right now I'm only on one premium, and that is Mo Salah. So tell me about your feelings around the premiums. Because as you can see, if I just quickly scroll down on the side here, those are the premiums. Salah in at 12.5, Palmer 10.5, Saka 10, and Son 10. For the sake of this conversation, let's focus on those four as our premium conversation. If you want to dabble around in De Bruyne and Foden, I won't tell you off. But those four in particular, Mo Salah in my team, Mo Salah in your team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this summer has been different to a lot of summers that we have because obviously we've had a lot of international football with the Euros going on, but also with Copa America. And as a result of that, we've seen a lot of players who historically have been really important to us in FPL getting a lot of minutes because their teams have gone a long way. What we've seen with Salah and also Haaland, who, you know, when we do a forwards video, we'll talk about him then. But
absolutely.
With Salah, we've seen the complete summer off. And that feels really nice, but also feels a little bit odd because it's a complete summer off and then back with a new manager. So there's a little bit of the unknown in terms of the slot regime and what that might mean for Salah and what that might mean for Salah's position on the pitch and whether Salah is indeed the best option to have at Liverpool. But right now, in the Liverpool team, who have got a nice fixture to start the season, I know that, you know, you hate the 12:30 kickoff, but nonetheless, it's a nice 12:30 kickoff at Ipswich. On paper, that should be a Liverpool victory, and we can discuss the merits of whether that's likely to happen or not, but on paper, that should be a victory for Liverpool. And I'm looking at the Liverpool team, particularly the attack, and I'm listening to what Slot is saying about how we don't have a forward at the moment because, of course, we've got Jota, not rejoined the squad yet because was in the Euros with Portugal. We've got Darwin Núñez and Luis Diaz, who both went very long in Copa America, not returned yet. We've got Gakpo, who went long with the Netherlands and hasn't returned yet. So Liverpool have been playing this slightly weird double number 10 setup in pre-season, which doesn't necessarily help us as FPL managers because we still don't really know who the nine will be. But it's giving us some...
It's got to be Núñez, isn't it?
I think so.
It's got to be. I think so. He's a natural one there. I mean, yeah, Gakpo, Jota, yes, but I think it's got to be Núñez.
But I think the point I'm making with all of this is that with Salah right now, he's the only one that we know for sure is there. He's training with Slot. He understands what Slot is asking because he's been there. Whereas the rest of the forward players, just not there at the moment through no fault of anybody's. And for me, that means I think he's really important. And I don't want to end up in a position where I'd so much rather have Salah to start game week one and know that come game week two, three, if I want to downgrade, I can go anywhere. If I haven't got Salah, and then I want him, goodness, it's so much harder to get there.
Yeah, and you notice you spoke there about the fixtures. Yeah, Ipswich away, I personally think that's a nightmare.
I know you don't
honestly,
like it.
I honestly don't like it
at all.
You're
making your excuses already.
Well, I think it's a good excuse. I'm sounding a bit like Klopp already, aren't I, with the 12:30 Saturday kickoff. But, you know, shock, there we are. We're straight away at Ipswich. But Brentford home, United, you know, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth. There's a lot of twos in there. But listen, I spoke to somebody on Twitter the other day and they were trying to make the case for going without Salah, given that it's Ipswich away and Man United away in the first three. Okay, you get behind the sofa for Brentford at home, but in not having Salah, that probably means, and again, I'm creeping into the forward talk, aren't we? But probably means you can then afford Haaland, who has got Ipswich at home in game week two. So there's your captaincy. So, I don't know, out of those first three, like, captaincy for Mo, Ipswich away, game week one, would you captain Mo?
Yeah.
Game week one? You see, I wouldn't. I would not.
The off-putting thing is the 12:30. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And you've also got a really nice home fixture for Isak against Southampton in game week one. And most people are going to have him in their teams, it seems. So there are other options. But I don't think this is all about the captaincy. And I know people bang on about that. But I genuinely don't see another Liverpool player that I'd rather have over Salah right now. Maybe come game week three, game week four, we see another Liverpool player that we would rather have because Jota's back and he's performing and you could just downgrade then at that point. But for me, Salah feels important.
All right. Well, there's another Liverpool player that we're going to discuss when we get to the 6.5 bracket. Staying in the premium bracket, though, if you don't have Salah, what about Cole then? Again, we've got to have that in the context of Nkunku, I think. We'll cover him in the 6.5 bracket. But Palmer, tell me whether you think he's going to start for Chelsea at the beginning of the season. And what I mean by that is, you know, that's not me saying his position in the first... that's not me saying his position in the first 11 is under threat. And by no stretch of the imagination do I mean that. I'm just talking about how
long
a summer he's had. I don't know, right, he didn't kick as many footballs as like the likes of Saka and others. But there's still a lot to recover from mentally and physically from going to the Euros.
And a busy season as well before that.
Absolutely. And I noticed that he didn't go on the pre-season tour with Chelsea, wherever the hell they've gone. So is it... do I want to start with Palmer? I'm not sure I want to start with Palmer, you know.
I have not had Palmer in a single draft that I've created this year.
But here's the rub with that, Sam. Here's the challenge with that. Look at that team selected by on the screen right now. 54%. Team selected by. Now, by no means are we up into the sort of 80s, 90s that we had with Haaland game week
are
one last season.
Are you bothered by 54% ownership?
Yeah!
Doesn't bother me.
Well over half the game have got Palmer.
But in reality, I don't see that being that big a deal. Like when... At the beginning of last season when Haaland was...
He bangs a couple of goals and free bonus and you're way behind.
Sure, but not really. Not in comparison to last season. Oh, last season, you didn't have Haaland. You were way behind because it was 90% owned. But players will be 70, 80% owned within a few weeks of the season starting. I think for me, Palmer... And all right, it's difficult to have the conversation about Palmer without having the conversation about Nkunku because, you know, we're talking about 4 million. 4 Huge. Million less for Nkunku. Now, last season, in pre-season, Nkunku was phenomenal. And I think a lot of us have forgotten that because Chelsea had such a bad season and because he then got injured. But he and Jackson in pre-season were performing incredibly well. It's just that they then both got injured. They were both then out for large chunks of the season. In fact, Chelsea lost a lot of players. And I'm not making excuses for them. but they did lose a lot of their key players over the course of last season. And so when you look at Jackson and Palmer, obviously on paper you would rather have Palmer because of the numbers that he returned last season and because of the penalties factor. But had we seen Nkunku play as many matches as we did for Palmer last season, would we have such a gulf in their performances? Maybe not. We'll never know. But I think the thing for me is that last season, under Poch, Palmer, it was basically Cole Palmer FC. Like, he was so vital to everything that Chelsea did. And he basically had free reign of that pitch. Go wherever you like, do whatever you like, win the ball, score goals.
But they also filtered play through him.
Everything.
The ball was to get to him.
Yeah. Everything was about him. Under the new manager, that's not what we're seeing. And I know he's not there in pre-season. I get that. But we're not seeing that. It's much more of a team. We go together. This is your position. This is how you play. And they are playing.
It's a very limited amount of Chelsea. I mean, of course. How can you make conclusions like that?
And they were appalling against Celtic, by the way. Lost 4-1 Celtic in their last game.
But we can't draw any conclusions.
You can't, yeah. But what I'm saying is I don't think you can draw conclusions a lot about Chelsea or about Liverpool at the moment. But what you can do is go, well, look, I've got Nkunku who's been there the whole of pre-season with the manager, learning about the manager's style of play and what he wants. And you listen to what the manager's saying about Nkunku and this. He's so flexible. He can play in all these different positions, all of that good stuff. Palmer's going to come back late. Do I think he starts him in game week one? Look, probably, because he is Chelsea's best player. But there's a chance he doesn't. There's a chance he stays on the bench in game week one and then plays in game week two and beyond. I can't bring myself to pay $4 million extra for a Chelsea player over Nkunku when actually I don't think it's worth it.
All right. Well, I liked the goal that Nkunku scored, and that's why I've put him on the slide here. I like the goal he scored the other night. Who did they play? Can't remember who they played, but they won at Stamford Bridge. And I like the way that the ball fell into the penalty area. And he kind of pushed. There was almost like a get out of the way. I'm going to score this goal. Mm. And I like that about Nkunku, I have to say. We're going to cover him in just a second. Saka and Son are the last two in that premium bracket. Talk to me about Bukayo Saka then, also going to be back late from the Euros. But we've seen before that Arteta is not afraid to... I was going to say not afraid to not rest. That doesn't make sense, does it? But he's not afraid to kind of play him. He won't give Bukayo Saka a rest unless he really feels like he needs
it. One day we're going to see Salah run on the pitch. Saka run on the pitch with a broken leg, I'm pretty sure. Because
the kid just keeps going, doesn't he?
It doesn't matter what's up with Saka. Arteta's like, you must play. You must play.
Yep.
And that's the end of it. Saka is a player that I don't currently have in my draft. And I haven't managed to get in any of my drafts so far. Because I've got both Salah and Haaland, and it is a challenge. I really like him. I think he's fantastic. We think he's on penalties, but we've seen him give them away in the past. But
he'll be on them.
Well, he's on them, and apparently he's on them unless he doesn't want to take it, and then he gives it to somebody else.
He'll be on.
But he's not feeling it, and we've seen him not feel it a few times. My issue with Saka is a bit like my issue with Palmer, except I more want to have Saka over Palmer. But again, I look at the Arsenal players. I look at how brilliant Gabby Jesus has been in pre-season for Arsenal. I look at Kai Havertz, who's only just rejoined the Arsenal squad on the back of his international summer. So he's only just back there after being at the Euros with Germany. I look at Martin Ødegaard, who has had the summer off because obviously Norwegian didn't go to the Euros.
And is a million and a half cheaper than Saka.
And is a million and a half cheaper. And Havertz is 2 million. And so you look at all of these, and this is why I love what FPL's done this year. Because I'm looking at these star boys, the Palmers and the Sakas, and I'm going, well, yeah, I'd love to have you. But in your own squad, I mean, I've just named three Arsenal players who feasibly you could have instead of having Saka.
Well, I'm sure we're going to cover those at some stage a bit later on. So I can't tempt you with a Saka. It doesn't sound like I can tempt you with a Palmer. Can I tempt you with a Heung-Min Son then?
No. And
you
know,
you are locked onto Mo, aren't you?
And do you know what? For me, the 9 million ownership, the 9% ownership.
9.3% owned currently.
It's fascinating because you look at the premiums and I've got them in front of me. So Salah, 33% owned. Palmer, 54%, as you've already mentioned. Saka, 26%. Son's on 9.3%. You've got Foden, who we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a minute, who's on 32.4%. You've got like Bruno Fernandes and Ødegaard, who are on 14% and 16% each. You've got Gordon, who's on 36%. Mm-hmm. All of these like big assets from last season. And then you've got Son, who's sitting there as a differential under 10% ownership. And it's mad. And it's a bit mad. Now, the Spurs fixtures are a little bit mixed to start the season.
Let's have a look at those. Leicester away, Everton at home, Newcastle away, Arsenal home. They are tricky fixtures. Even that Everton game, we're expecting Everton to be defensively a bit more Sean Dyche this season, aren't we?
Are we? Depends if Branthwaite's still there, I think, for me.
I think we are. They've signed... who do they sign?
They've got a new centre-back, haven't they? Or a new... They've signed somebody new defensively.
They've made some signings.
But I think the point... I'm not that bothered. But it's a home game, right, against Everton. It's our opening home game of the season. I can't see anything other than Spurs goals in that one. But I think... For me, again, I just look at that price point. And look, Son deserves the price rise because actually, you look at his underlying stats from last season. He had so much better a season than he did the season before where he was dreadful.
Quite a big XG overachievement last season. So 11.49 XG with 17 goals. But listen, we've been here before with Sonny. That's what he does.
He does,
He's an XG overachiever because he's clinical and he's elite.
And actually has a fantastic record against Leicester. If we remember him coming off the bench the last time they were in the Premier League, scoring a hat-trick in 13 minutes. Same against Everton, actually got a good record against them. So he's got good potential, I think, over the opening few weeks, even against the likes of Arsenal, though that North London derby nearly always has goals in it. And Son's quite often involved in those, to be fair. I just struggle with the 10 million because... Again, I think Brennan Johnson, James Madison, there are other players in that
top team. There's tempting alternatives with all of these premiums, isn't there?
And I think that's why, for me, you go for somebody. You go for a Salah, and you, if you can, you go for somebody in and around the nine and a half bracket. Because in doing that, you then know it's not that difficult to get up to a Son or a Saka if your Odegaard or your Brennan Johnson doesn't perform, because you can take some money out of one of your other premiums.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about the next bracket down then. So there's the premiums. It sounds like you are very much locked onto Mo. And looking at alternatives from Chelsea and Arsenal and Spurs, can I tempt you then with the next bracket down? We're not going to go through each of these one by one, but the De Bruyne's, the Foden's, Odegaard, Bruno... Jota, Diaz, Gordon, Madison. Let's even go down into the 7.5s. Let's stop at Martinelli at 7 and that'll be the next bracket. But all of those there between De Bruyne and Bowen. So the kind of 7.5 to 9.5 bracket. Who is it in particular that's catching your eye? Because right now in my team, as you guys can see on the screen, I've got Phil Foden. Now I've got eyes on him as to, you know, when he's going to be starting. Is Pep going to rest him? Does he need a rest after the Euros? All that sort of good stuff. But with no Haaland currently in my draft, I do want to cover that Man City attack, and it feels like Foden is the right way to go about that. What are you saying?
I think if you don't have Haaland, I'd definitely go for Foden in there. But whether Foden, I think, is the right pick for game week one, I question it. I don't think Foden's going to start in game week one. I really don't.
Okay.
It's an away trip at Chelsea. He's not rejoined the squad yet. He had a busy summer with England. He played a lot of football and he looked tired. And Guardiola has the luxury of not having to start Foden in game week one. He can bring him off the bench.
32.4% owned, though. A lot of people disagree with you.
Well, a lot of people aren't necessarily thinking about his ability to start in game week one yet, I don't think. A lot of people are just going... Because I don't think that comes into it, does it, until you get closer to the match day starting. I think for me, it's just about, are you going for a Foden over a Haaland? And I suspect that the players that have got Foden in, most of them have not got Haaland in their drafts.
That's all the non-Haaland guys, yeah.
Yeah. But I look at that bracket of players and there are a few in there who I think are fantastic options.
Go on, who catches your eye? Go on.
So there's Martin Odegaard, who had a fantastic season last season, was really impressive and had a nice rest over the summer. And I think as far as Arsenal assets go, he is one that really intrigues me.
Are you just picking players that have had a rest over the summer?
No, it sounds like
everything's always had a rest over the summer.
No, because actually one of the other players that I'm really watching carefully for when he comes back to pre-season, he's not back yet, is Jota. Because I actually do think that Jota could be a really interesting pick. It's either going to be him or whoever plays up top for Liverpool. Is it a Darwin? Is it a Gakpo? And we'll talk more about them when we do the forwards video.
Only 3.1%.
But he's a real differential.
As you know, I think he should be winning Ballon d'Or.
I know, you love him.
Unbelievable player.
And I really like Jota. And I think he's one of those players where I'm looking at him as my potential Salah replacement a few weeks into the season when we're starting to see the likes of Foden back in the squad and regularly starting, and I need that little bit of extra budget to get to him. Jota might be the right one. It might be that it's Darwin instead, but Jota feels a bit
you
more...
You see the new bonus point system actually hurts you if you have shots off target.
Darwin's
so
never getting any, is he?
I think you're going for Darwin on bonus
points. But then also in that price point, you've also got Anthony Gordon, who we shouldn't forget how brilliant Anthony Gordon was last season. Like, and I think a lot of people have neglected Gordon a little bit.
Now, you're totally joking. 36.9%.
No, listen, I think part of the reason that people have neglected him a little bit is because a lot of them are looking at the forwards. So, like, Isak is owned by 55%.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people are either going, well, I'm going to go for Isak, or I'm going to go for Gordon. I wonder how many of those people, in fact, I should go on Live FPL and have a look, how many of those people have actually got both of them. I reckon that that's a relatively small number of people.
But
that
there's
currently
definitely
still
a case. Look at those fixtures there for is. Newcastle. And that is why a lot of people are going for Isak, and that is why some will be looking at the double up with Anthony Gordon as well. Southampton at home to start the season, as you mentioned before, looks captainable
it
from
does.
An ESAP perspective.
Yeah.
I think definitely he's going to be in the conversation.
How good was Anthony Gordon at home last season?
Yeah, unreal. Unreal. And then Bournemouth, Spurs, Wolves, Fulham. It's not until they kind of get to City. Everton away is tricky. Chelsea and Arsenal on the horizon. So from six onwards, it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll think about having both of them. But for those opening five...
You could definitely have both.
You can definitely have a
yeah,
double
you definitely
if you
can.
Want. And a lot of people are at 36.9. The only thing I would say about Diogo Jota is, yes, it's minutes. Yes, it's, you know, we don't know enough about Arne Slot's Liverpool. Just a quick look at his stats from last season. Quite a big XG and XA overachievement. Very Heung-min Son esque here, with 7 assists off an XA of only 1.75. I have to check that on the scout members area. That doesn't seem right to me, but we're on the official site, so it must be right. An XG of 5.2, almost doubled that with 10 goals. So a big overachievement on his XG. Big overachievement. But again, we know what we're going to get. He's a clinical finisher. Anybody else in this bracket before we move to the next one? I do want to just discuss quickly with you Maddison.
Okay.
Definitely a player that isn't necessarily on my radar, isn't on many people's radars at 5.9%. But I was listening to the boys from the Above Average podcast the other day. If you don't listen to those boys, definitely go and check them out before the season starts. Above Average FPL over on Twitter. They did a whole podcast where they had a dude come in and look at all of the players from last season, and they modelled the bonus point attainment based on the new rules for bonus points. And if you don't understand or are unfamiliar with what's changing with the underlying BPS system that basically feeds the 3, 2, and 1 bonus points, we did a video on it a couple of weekends ago. We'll link it. Check it out on the channel. But the too long didn't read version is that it really benefits attacking players.
Yeah, it does.
And in the model that the Above Average boys did, James Maddison came out as the player that would have benefited the most last season by an additional kind of 12 to 15 bonus points or something like that. So he gets fouled a lot. He's taking shots. They seem to be
set
on
pieces.
Target. He's on set pieces. At 5.9%, is he worthy of a look?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing to remember about James Maddison is that how great was he for the opening 10 game weeks of the season? Comes to Spurs for 10 game weeks. He was excellent. The Chelsea game happened and it's etched on my brain game week 11. Because it killed...
Last season.
Yeah, because it killed the squad. We lost Van de Ven and we lost Maddison
it
to massive long-term injuries.
Disaster game.
At the point we lost our two best players at that point, because those two were that. We also lost Romero and Udogi to suspension because they both picked up red cards. It was the game from hell. And I sat in the South Stand with my head in my hands for most of it. But at that moment, James Maddison's injury, unlike Van de Ven, when Van de Ven came back from injury, he came back almost like nothing had happened. James Maddison did not. He came back like a totally different player and not for the better. His fitness wasn't right. His reading of the games wasn't right. It was almost like he was playing with some sort of pain. Then he went to the England training camp and he did look better, actually, playing for England. And the last few weeks of the season, he looked better and obviously then didn't go to the Euros. What I'm seeing in pre-season, he seems to be back.
Okay.
Touch wood. I think at 7.5, most people will go, can I save one again and go for a Brennan Johnson? And I think that's probably why Spurs just aren't being heavily invested in. And maybe it's because people are worried about, you know, European football again. Maybe it's because they're looking at those two fixtures in game weeks 3 and 4 and thinking that's a tough start to the season. But he's definitely got potential.
If I had to twist your arm right now and say you had to have one of Brennan or Maddison, who would you have?
Brennan.
Would you? I'd have Madders.
Interesting.
I'd have Madison. Let's talk about the Brennan Johnson bracket then, as it's being called, only by us. The seven million and downwards. So you've got the Martinellis in here. Listen, I'm not going to go.
Most people are calling this the Nkunku bracket, yes. But no, we're calling it the Brennan Johnson bracket.
Literally only us that's calling it the Brennan Johnson bracket. So we've got the sort of, who we got in here? So we've got Martinelli. We've got, you know, Eze as well. Very, very popular pick. Bailey as well from Aston Villa, Rashford's in there.
Gibbs White's
Karim Mitoma,
well.
Mudryk, McAllister, Szoboszlai. Listen, loads in here, including a couple that we've mentioned already with Nkunku, who's in my team. Eze, who has not left my draft yet.
No, me neither.
I have to say, has not left a draft of mine. He's selected by 33.3%, and I think you can see why. At the back end of last season under Glasner, he was the focal point, and without Elise in this team, there's a bit of narrative out there about, you know, will it affect him? You know, lost a class player. He did a brilliant assist from Elise for PSG last night, by the way. Unbelievable. Mm. So they've lost a class player. In my mind, I think that gives Eze the opportunity to step up and say, right, this is my team now. It's my team. He's worth the 7 mil, in my opinion. I think he's great value.
I agree with you.
Oh, there's a but, though, isn't there? What's the but?
There's a couple of buts. The first but is...
Right.
Elise has left.
Okay.
And Mateta's away at the Olympics. And I just worry that this is a little bit now like, maybe this is the Eze FC because everyone else...
Well, it is. He's the talisman now. Yeah, we love talisman.
We do love talisman, but who's left to support him in being the talisman? Do you know what I mean? When Mateta's back...
Are you?
Who's left to support him? Like when Mateta's back, I think I'd feel differently. Look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I've had him in every draft too. I think he's a great pick. I'm also just keeping a close eye because there's still a hell of a lot of rumours that he's being linked away with from a move away.
Oh, if he goes, then we'll revisit the conversation. But right now, but for also, Palace at 7 mil, I think he's in.
But where's your head? Or if what do you mean? If the whole summer you've lost your best mate, he's gone off.
Yeah,
and then your whole summer is spent with you being linked away from the club. Where's your head? Like, that's the only negative I've got. I think he's a fantastic pick. He was phenomenal at the back end of last season, as you said. I've had him in every draft. Just there's a little devil on the back of my shoulder going, but Mateta's not there and Lise's not there. And is he going to be as good?
All right, go on then. Talk to me about who is catching your eye then. If there's a little bit of doubt over Eze.
I've got Nkunku as well as
All right,
Eze.
Well, listen, we've already discussed him, but go on briefly then. 6'5". Going to make a mockery of that price, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. And I think, you know, we said last season, you know, when Cole Palmer came in at his price point, nobody was thinking that he was going to be what he was. And Nkunku... The move to midfield is fascinating to me because obviously now extra points for the goals and all of that good stuff. That makes it interesting. At 6.5, it feels like a no-brainer.
If he was a 7.5 forward...
I don't think ownership would be anywhere near that.
But you'd still consider it, I think,
yes.
At 7.5 forward.
You'd think about it.
But at 6.5 mid.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think it's yeah, I do too.
Not everyone agrees though. 14.8, and I think there'll be a lot of managers out there going, "Well, do I want him and Palmer?"
This I don't think you would have both, and Palmer's ownership is high. So if you're going to have Palmer, I don't think you're going to go for.
But we're in the minority here. We're saying we fancy Nkunku over Palmer, but the masses disagree. There's 50% owned Palmer,
but that's going to be based on history, isn't it? People will look at Palmer and go, he was incredible for me last season. He's a must have. People won't sit there and look at the underlying numbers for Nkunku when he was actually playing.
Okay.
And they won't look at the difference in the injuries and what has happened in pre-season last year and this year.
All right.
I think there's real potential there.
All right.
I've also got Brennan Johnson in my draft.
Go on then,
the
Johnson bracket. Go on, tell us about the Johnson
the
bracket.
The Johnson bracket. I mean, look, I think there's other players as well. I think Kudos is a really
good find
nice
him
pick.
On this list. Oh, he is.
He's right down. Keep going down. Keep
there
scrolling
he is.
And
is
find
Brennan.
Him. Look, he's been great in pre-season. Some lovely, lovely link-up play with Maddison for his opening goal of pre-season. A couple of games ago seems to be locking down that right hand side at the moment.
Not Deki, not Kulusevski.
Well, so Richarlison's not fully fit yet, so at the moment he is playing Deki as well, but he's sort of sometimes Brennan's on the right, sometimes Brennan's on the left, sometimes Son's in the middle, sometimes Son's on the left. When we've actually got a number nine that's fit and can play, I think it will be Brennan that plays over Deki. I just don't see.
Is that number nine going to be Ivan Toney, by the way?
Maybe. Not of rumour that it might be.
Big links.
I think
Big links.
I think potentially we might be the only club that will gamble on his
That's the wrong phrase to use, but okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. Because there's nobody's in for him.
Oh,
and honestly, nobody's in for him, are they? And I think that he's the sort of player that we've had Ndombele in our squad before. We've had all sorts of people. Adebayor. We've had all players that have had a bit of a...
can't believe you just dropped that one.
A bit of an attitude. But they seem to do okay. He's got a bit of an attitude.
I think we should probably stop talking about Tony at this stage. Who else in the Brennan Johnson bracket? That's actually hard to say. Are you looking at who else is in there?
So there's loads of people in there. There's lots of options. You've got players like Rice and Rodrigo if you want to go there. Also, your favourite, Szoboszlai. Do you want to talk about Szoboszlai?
Well, I do, only because, and this is a very easy thing to say, given that he scored in a friendly a couple of nights ago, did play as one of the, you know, two false tens almost that you discussed before, right? And Arne Slot did come out after the game and said, well, look, we haven't got a fit striker yet, so I've got to play the two false tens and I needed them break into the box. But I do think that this is a key season for him. And I do think this is a key season for his career at Liverpool as well. He's coming up to an age now where he's be peaking now. He's not a kind of Harvey Elliott, you know, Enyonny kind of like Besetic kind of player. He's getting to the point now where he needs to start.
Some grey hairs coming in. He's got to get
putting words in my mouth again. What I'm saying is he's getting to a point now where he's had his first season. He's proved that he can finish. He's proved that he likes a shot. He's proved that he's accurate with his shooting as well, which is great for underlying bonus points. I think if we can get a fit CDM in there, if we can get... Besetic, I love. You know I love Besetic. If we can get that midfield working, I just think he and McAllister can be as lethal in those positions as some of our wide players. Okay. And I think under Arne Slot, and I've watched a few videos of what he's done at previous clubs, the wingers stay wide. Yeah. It's the eights that bomb on, and there's a central striker, and one of the eights gets very close to the striker. I think it's going to be Szoboszlai that gets close.
Not Elliot.
Maybe Elliot, but I still don't think Elliot's going to be first choice. I think Maka will be a holder, and I think Szoboszlai will be the one that pushes. And I think if he does deploy that on a slot, and we've got to watch more. We've had one game against Betis, right?
And no
we've got to see
yet.
More. And no Nunes yet, so we've got to see how that works out. But no Gakpo or Jota, any of that, right? But if we see the sort of system that Arne Slot has, you know, lived by for many, many years,
yeah.
The wingers stay wide.
Yeah, they do.
Salah will be wide. Yeah. Diaz will be wide. And the eights bomb on. I'm not sitting here saying get Szoboszlai over Salah. But what I am saying is watch the rest of pre-season and keep an eye on Dominic Szoboszlai at 6'5". He's one of the favourites of mine in that bracket, no doubt about
it. And that's why when you said I feel like you're locked on Salah, I am at the moment. There is a chance that by the time game week 1 week rolls round, if we are seeing this wide Salah,
yes,
then I'm not going to go there because Salah in the wide position isn't what I want. I'd rather then go for a Nunes up top or a Gakpo or whoever it looks likely to be.
Sure.
Instead, because we've seen when Salah's really left wide, it isn't the right thing. But I don't agree with you on Szoboszlai.
Okay.
I just think there's too much risk. I think there's potential that he plays Harvey Elliott instead. I think there's potential that there's a lot of rotation around that position. So for me, I'd need to see... He would be a player that I think you can just wait and see on.
All right. Well, let's go down into Sam.
Now, we fundamentally disagree with this bracket, don't we?
If it wasn't the Brennan Johnson bracket, what we call it is the bargain basement bracket.
This is Morgan Rogers.
The bargain basement bracket. I've got currently Morgan Rogers in my side in an Aston Villa double up with Watkins. I've also got Konsa, so I've got three Villa in my team,
which, by the way,
I'm cool with because Villa are a good
side. So what are we calling this? The like 5.5 and under or the 6 and under bracket?
Let's say 6.
Okay.
Let's say 6 and under. There's hundreds of players in here, so I need you to come and pick out the top kind of 3 or 4 for
goodness me. Well, I think Morgan Rogers is the one that everyone's looking at the moment.
Lots to discuss on him, yes.
I think, you know, at 5 million, he offers a route into Aston Villa if you can't afford to spend 9 million on Ollie Watkins. And I think that there will be a lot of
people... He doesn't cover Ollie Watkins, though.
I didn't say he covers Ollie Watkins. Okay. Don't put words in my mouth, as you've just said to me. But I think what he does do is there will be a lot of managers, myself included, that look at Ollie Watkins and go, I'd really like you. I'd really like to have you. I don't know how to get you because I want to have a Salah and a Haaland and I want to have all these other assets. And I'm looking and I want to have Isak. And I'm looking at Watkins and going, eek.
Okay.
At 9, I can't get you. So I'm also thinking, well, I value the Aston Villa attack because last season they were good. You could have, at that point, Douglas Luiz. He was great for managers who owned him for chunks of last season. Leon Bailey's also there, although he's in the 6.5. He's in the Brennan Johnson bracket. So I'm looking at the Aston Villa midfielders and going, is there someone in there? I'm not saying can cover, but can give me a route into the Aston Villa attack. But also with Rodgers, what I like is that I don't even have to play him every week if I don't want to. He could be the player that enables you to know you've got a starter off the bench if you need it.
Mm.
Probably. We need to check that, but possibly starting for Aston Villa. And
certainly liked him at the back end of last season, didn't he?
He did. And yeah, also, he's been really good in pre-season.
Nice player.
But also would enable me to have maybe, rather than having a João Pedro up top with Haaland and Isak, maybe allows you to have a Muniz instead for Fulham, because the Fulham fixtures are fantastic.
Sure.
Or maybe it allows you to go a little bit higher and get a Havertz in there instead.
Okay.
And I think for me, that's where the conversation that we slightly differ is, because I think there's value in going for a cheap player like Rodgers in the midfield. Whereas you're not so sure about that burner slot really being there, are you? It's not really a burner slot because he's going to play, but, you know, the, having the cheap option there, you'd rather have it in the forward line.
I'm not against it. I just think if you're going to have a cheap slot in your front eight, and we talk about it on the forwards video, it's João Pedro. It's so obvious. He's just there as the 5-5. And I know he's got a rib injury, but he's a big boy. Get over it.
And I mean, he's broke his ribs.
Well, you know, he'd be fine. So he's going to be, I think, you know, starting more often than not.
Yeah.
For Brighton and on pens and a danger and gets fouled a lot and likes to win pens. I just think he's just brilliant, João Pedro. So if you're going to go with him as a 5.5,
yeah,
you therefore don't need to have a cheap midfielder like Morgan Rodgers in your midfield. You can have another 6.5 in there instead, in my opinion, because the 6.5 bracket is so good. There's so many good players in there, like your Szoboszlais and Kunkus and Baileys and all the ones we've mentioned before. So I would much rather have Bailey, for example, than Morgan Rodgers.
It's interesting because in one of my drafts that I've currently got, I've got Harry Winks in that position at 4.5.
Okay.
And the reason I've got him in there is because that does allow me to have a front three of Haaland, Havertz and Isak.
Or all the way down to... He's 4.5, isn't he, Harry Winks?
He's 4.5, yeah.
Go on, tell me about Harry Winks.
And, well, there's not a lot to talk about. He's going to... Look, I love Harry Winks. I mean, look, poor Harry Winks. That's really unfair.
Still in a Spurs shirt, by the way, on FPL.
Yeah, but look at him. Loves it, doesn't he? He's come back. He's come back with Leicester. Look, he's going to start. He's 4.5. I'm not expecting him to do much.
He's just there.
But he's there. And at some point in your front eight, with the way that the prices are working in these opening few weeks, you have to have a player like that that's just there, because you have to not play one of them every week. So I need somebody who is going to start and can come off the bench if I need it. Now, that if I need it, he'll be the third sub. So three people have got to not play Winks to make it on the pitch. So yes, I can go for a João Pedro and he's going to cost me 5.5. Or I can save a whole million, stick Harry Winks on the third sub spot and have a Havertz or a Jesus or a route into the Arsenal attack.
Sure.
And that's where my draft fundamentally lacks. Which is why I quite like Harry Winks.
All right. Well, 10.9% of the FPL community agree with you, Sam. Yeah. Currently, that's a lot higher TSB than I was expecting. But yeah, all filler.
It's got more ownership than Sun.
I was going to say all killer, no killer, all filler, I think, Harry Winks. No good whatsoever. Anybody else?
That's savage.
Anybody else?
Apologise to poor old Harry.
No, I won't. Anybody else in the six and below catching your eye then? What about Dewsbury Hall? What about Almiron? What about Joelinton? What about Ross Barkley, Buendia? There's loads and loads of options. Who else is in your thoughts?
Of those ones that you've just mentioned, absolutely none of them. Because I think the thing is, all of them have better players. And I think this is the problem, isn't it? When you get down to this point, like of the guys you've just mentioned, every single one of them has somebody in the sort of 6 to 6.5 to 7 bracket.
I fancy Simon Adingra coming in at 5.5. That's got a bit under my radar. We've got to see a little bit more from Brighton as to how they're going to set up. But 6 goals, 1 assist. Last season, bit of an underachievement on that XA as well. XA was more like 3.26, so he was putting them on a plate for people that couldn't finish. 0.7%, 5.5 mil?
No, thanks. If I'm going to go for if I'm going to go for 5.5, there's two that I quite like the idea of. There's Hutchinson at Ipswich. 18 assists, 3 goals in the Championship last season for Hutchinson.
In the Championship, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Ipswich's fixtures?
Sure.
Apart from, I mean, they've got a bye on the opening day.
Can't even find
and then
him,
after that, after the bye on the opening day, when they've got the nicest game in the world at 12:30, they've then got to go to Man City. But then after that, look at the fixtures after the Man City game. They're actually really nice for Ipswich. Oh, yeah,
so you're definitely going to have him in your squad ready for game week three, Fulham at home. What are you talking about? Liverpool, Man City. No one's going anywhere near any Ipswich, surely.
I've got him in my draft at the moment. In one of my drafts, I've got Hutchinson. Yeah, because actually, you know, he's very, very attacking. He is there. You know, you're talking about talismanic.
You've got Hutchinson and Winks in a current draft. What's going on?
No, they're two different drafts. So one of them's in one and one of them's in the other, depending upon what I do with the front three. The other player that I quite like, if we don't want to go for Hutchinson, and I've got my eye on, is Jack Harrison, who has left Leeds and gone back to Everton.
I've got to find these players. I should have had this lined up. Here you go. Jack Harrison, right.
Now, when he was in the Premier League before with
Leeds United, he was right.
He was all right. And I'm looking at Everton going, my God, you need all the help you can get attacking-wise, don't they? And I'm
With Leeds, yeah, Bamford, Rafinha, the players around him. Who's he got now?
Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin, who won't be there because he'd be injured.
He's there at the moment.
Beto.
Look, I am keeping an eye on him in pre-season because there might be some value. I don't think Everton are going to be very good. Sorry, Everton fans. But there might be some value there.
Not attacking-wise, they're not going to be. Defensively, they'd be better, won't they?
Well, I don't know. I think it depends on what happens with Branthwaite. I really do. I think if Branthwaite goes, they could have all kinds of trouble.
Oh, well, there we go, guys. That's the video. I'm going to leave it on Simon Adingra. I think you've done him dirty there. I think you're picking out, what, Jack Harrison over Simon Adingra? Having an absolute laugh.
Adingra might not even play for Brighton. What are you talking about?
Having a laugh. Before we go, guys, hopefully you found the video useful. If you did, obviously leave us a like, subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. Before we go, a shout out to our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. The new Fantasy Football Scout app is coming soon. Still coming soon. When is it coming, Sam?
It's currently... Apple have just got to press the go button. We're waiting on Apple.
Do they know that there's game week one deadlines coming up, Apple?
Yeah, they do.
Can you please give him a call, Mr. Apple?
It came back and we had to tick a couple of boxes. We've ticked a couple of boxes and sent it back.
Goodness me.
I'm hoping like any time. By the time you watch this video, it might even be out.
So the app is coming soon and you can blame Apple that we haven't got it yet. But it is going to be in the Apple store.
And the Android, sorry.
Yes, absolutely. There's me with my iPhone bias. It's going to be in all your favourite app stores. Very soon, guys. Trust me, I've had a look at it, the beta version. It looks unreal.
It's good. It really looks good.
Unreal. It's going to be worth the wait if only Apple would pull their fingers out of their behinds. So look out for that from our friends at Fantasy Football Scout. Other than that, guys, thank you for listening to the video. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you in the next one when we're going to do what? Defenders or forwards? I think we should do forwards.
Ooh, interesting.
Let's do forwards coming next. Tune in for that one, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.